Good morning. Again. Amen. Open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. We're going to kind of bounce around just a little bit this morning. I was trying to decide what to teach on this morning, and somebody told me, well, just to teach on what you taught last time. They won't remember anyhow. And I'm like, well, you know, that's not a bad idea. But I couldn't remember what it was I taught on. So, hey, we all get along great, right? All right, so Hebrews chapter 10. The preacher, when he gets back, we'll get back into the book of Revelations. Brother Mullins and I were just talking a moment ago about how long it's going to take to finish up Revelations. And we're kind of debating on whether or not we're going to see the rapture or the end of Revelations. And just between me and you, I hope it's the rapture, amen? Dr. Carter does such a fabulous job teaching the book of Revelations, as Brother Mullins pointed out to me this morning. He said to me this morning, he said, you guys just don't realize what you've got, you know, because we have it here all the time. And to some degree, that's true. You know, you get used to it. But folks, Dr. Carter's awesome. He does a really, really super, super job of teaching the book. And always such a blessing to me. And it makes it so hard to get up here and have to teach to you this morning, to stand here where Dr. Carter normally stands. You're just nervous. It don't matter how long you've been doing it, how long you do it. It's just sometimes you feel like, I don't want to be here, you know? I want to be teaching, but I want Dr. Carter to be standing here this morning. I want to be sitting out there listening to him, amen? So y'all be praying for me as we go through here. And what I'm going to do, we're going to bounce around. We're going to look at a few scriptures. And I want to say to you this morning, don't give up. Amen? Don't give up. I mean, this is the day and the time that sometimes we feel like we just want to throw our hands up and quit. I know that's the way I feel sometimes. I get so frustrated when we're going around nowadays, everywhere you go, the things that's going on. You turn your television on. I haven't hardly watched the news, very, very little this week. It's sickening. You know, it's repetitious. It's the same thing over and over. And you know the star of the show is going to be COVID, right? So that's going to be the thing. And matter of fact, the gentleman, the black man that was running for president that just passed away, Herman Cain. Amen. God bless him. Pray for the family. Man been fighting cancer, stage 4 cancer. And he passes away, and they label him as COVID. Folks, that's what we're dealing with right now. That's the time and the day that we live in. And it's pretty bad when you can't trust your government for anything anymore. You can't trust the news media. But you know, there's one person we can still trust. The Lord Christ, amen? We can look to our God and we know that, like Brother Nixon was just singing. But we can look at God and we know that He is still God. He's still the Creator. He's still in charge of all things, and He's in control of everything. So no matter how bad it gets, we know that He is in charge. Amen. All right, Hebrews 10:25, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of thyself together, as the manner of some is, but exalting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now turn with me to Acts chapter 2. It won't hurt you to use your Bible a little bit this morning. It'll help keep you awake, amen? Acts chapter 2. I'll find it here in a moment. Somebody took it out of my Bible. All right, well, I want to look at verse 42. It says, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So in Hebrews, it tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And then when we read here in Acts, it tells us to continue in the apostles' doctrine. That's the Bible. That's the Word of God. That's what we have in front of us this morning. Well, folks, let me say something to you. It's kind of hard to do that when you're not in church. Amen? Now, I know a lot of people are saying, well, the government says or the doctor says and this and that, but God says not to forsake the assembling of thyself together. Folks, that's right here in God's house. So what's right and what's wrong? Well, I don't know about you, but I'm going to go with what God says. God says that we're to assemble ourselves together. And let me tell you something. How are we going to continue steadfastly? How are we going to continue doing the same things in the same doctrine? How are we going to break bread if we're not together? We need to be together to do that, don't we? You know, we need to be fellowship. How do you fellowship one to another when one's at home on the couch and one's sitting at the table in their PJs and one's here? So how do you fellowship like that? You don't. I mean, we need to come together like God tells us to. We need to put all this news, all fake news, put it all behind you. Get it behind you. I'm going to trust it. Let me just say something for you. I don't want to get into this COVID thing because I'll be here all day long. We won't get any scriptures done. But let me just say this to you. I'm not going anywhere until God says so. Amen. COVID's not taking me. A bullet's not taking me. A car's not taking me. Nothing is taking me unless God says so. I'm going to be right here. And it's the same for you. And if you believe the book, if you believe in your salvation, you believe in what God has given you, you know, hey, we need to be doing what God says to do. Quit listening to the fake news. Is COVID real? Yes, it's real. It's just like any other bug. It's real. Can it kill you? I'm sure it can. I mean, you know, you can get a splinter in your finger and die from it. You're aware of that, correct? So, folks, you know, we need to get all that stuff put behind us and get back to our lives and get back to doing what God says to do. And he says to assemble ourselves together. And that's where we need to be this morning. And if we're out in radio land, then you need to be here in church. Now, there's some people, like, for example, my mother-in-law this morning cannot be here. God bless her. She wants to be here. But she can't be here this morning. That's what the radio's for. And how about those lost people that some of them may have never ever been in the church, but happened to be hurting real bad and they dial, you know, turn through the channels and just happen to come across that channel and hear something that catches their ear and God will use that to save their soul with. Amen. That's what the radio's for. But we as believers need to be congregated here together. You know, I talked a little while back, I think, on something about the church. What was it about the church? Is the church what? Essential, right? Isn't that what we talked about? Is it essential? Folks, we ourselves are making the church non-essential. We don't use it. We say that we believe, then we don't act on our beliefs. And the world sees that, and what do they think? I mean, if they see you at home on Sunday, obviously then you didn't think enough about God this morning to be in God's house. Folks, this is where we need to be. And while I'm on that subject, I don't really need to be on that subject, but let me just say this. Maybe you don't agree with everything that goes on. Okay? So you can agree to disagree at home, or you can agree to disagree here. Which one's best? You need to be in God's house because you're going to get something from God. If you will come and apply yourself, you'll get something from God. I'll promise you that. You know, I remember a time when I would sit back there myself and one preacher would preach and I like that preacher. Another preacher would preach. Well, you know, folks, it doesn't matter who preaches. It doesn't matter who teaches. If you're getting something from God's word, that's what matters. And if you'll just listen to what's being taught, you will get something from it. But folks, we need to be here. See, it's important for me that you be here. It's important for you that I be here. Same way with everybody in this room. Everybody, it's important that we're here to fellowship with one another. You know, we need to do those things. And just like assembling ourselves together, it's kind of hard to do that when we're all scattered all over Hang City. You know, how are we going to get together and break bread if we're not close enough together to eat and enjoy one another? The little social that we had last week, I enjoyed that. The fellowship that took place, if you were there, if you just left, you didn't see it, but if you were there, there was fellowshipping taking place. Good times. And that's what we need as a church body. We need those times with one another. All right, let's go back to Hebrews 25. Look back at Hebrews 25, Hebrews 10, verse 25. And it says, as the manner of some is. Folks, that's talking about, you know, some people aren't here or don't want to be here today because of persecution. You know, if I go to church where I work at, they're going to be wanting to know why I'm gathered up with a bunch of people. And that's what's going to happen. Or they're going to ask you, did you wear a mask? Did you do this? Did you do that? But some people don't want to deal with that. Well, let me just say this right quick. My father was a paratrooper in World War II. My wife's father served Korea and two terms in Vietnam. I think I have a right to be where I want to be. You understand what I'm saying? A lot of men, good men, and women give their lives for this country and the freedoms that we have. And I don't take them lightly. And I'm not going to give them up very easily. You know, when I go somewhere and some little snot-nosed kid going to tell you, you're going to put a mask on, them's almost fighting words right there. Thank God that I'm a preacher. 10 years ago, oh, my soul. It wouldn't have been good. I'd have been in Bartow 9 times already. You know, folks, I don't take kindly to that. And I know they're trying to tell you it's for your own good. I get so disgusted with that. It's for your own good that they're wearing a mask, right? And they're touching that old nasty mask that they've been wearing all day, slobbering in it and spitting in it, whatever else they're doing. They're touching that old nasty mask and didn't want to handle your stuff. They're looking out for you. How crazy all that is. I get so sick of it. And just like I said the Wednesday night, my skin's about to crawl with it. I get so upset. And my wife will tell you, she don't want to go anywhere with me because she's scared to death somebody's going to say you got to wear a mask. It's not happening. So what do you do? She says, let's not go. Let's just stay home. So, all right. Folks, let me tell you something. I'm not wrong. And that's what the world wants to do today. They want to make you think you're wrong for being here this morning. No, I'm not wrong for being here this morning. I'm doing what God has told us to do. So if they're wrong and they want to make you look like you're wrong. They want to make you feel like you're wrong. They want to make you feel like you don't care. You're not even a decent human being anymore. You don't care about your fellow neighbors. You don't care enough to put a mask on. I care enough to keep it off. Hey, that's just the way it is. Doctors will tell you. Now, I understand there's some people has a condition that's sick. Hey, look, if you have a condition, by all means, put a mask on. And if you're sick, stay home. That solves most of the problem right there. If you're sick, stay home. Because I don't care if it's COVID or a cold or the flu. I don't want it. If you're sick, stay home. Or at least sit outside the door back there, amen? Because the rest of us don't want whatever it is that you have. That's just common sense. That's common practice. That's something we should have been practicing all along, not just because of COVID, right? So with all that being said, what do we do about it? What do we do? How do we deal with that without exploding and going off on somebody? You know, you want to let the old man out, right? Oh, boy, sometimes you want to let him out real bad. And here lately, I told my wife, I said, you know, I think it'd feel good just to let him out for a little while. She said, oh, no. She said, oh, no, we're not going there. We're going to keep that capped off. I said, okay. She said, you got to remember, you're a preacher. Yeah, but they don't know that. You never know where you're at. You never know who's there, right? So you got to keep your testimony. So with all that being said, I ask myself, well, how am I going to deal with this process? Because it's going to get worse, folks. It's not going to get better. So how am I going to deal with this? And I was reading something. Turn over to Ephesians, book of Ephesians. Go to chapter 3. And I read this, and it just blessed my heart. Praise God, I think the Apostle Paul is the greatest man ever walked the earth besides Jesus. Amen? I just love the Apostle Paul. And when I read this, it just blessed my heart. It brought tears to my eyes. Listen to what it says. Verse 1. It says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. the prisoner of Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul had it going on. Paul understood, didn't he? Paul put self aside. Paul didn't. What I love about this verse so much, and I know he was in prison here. He's writing. He's in prison. The Romans have incarcerated him. He took away their glory. What did he say? I, Paul, the prisoner of who? Jesus Christ. He let them know, you don't have me locked up here. God's got me here, and he's got me here for a reason and a purpose. He's letting the whole world know that I'm Jesus' prisoner. You understand? What's Paul saying? Paul has an understanding. God is in control. It's by his will that he was in prison, not because the Romans wanted him there. See, Paul understood that any time that God wanted him out, he's out. Folks, and that's the mindset that we need to have. That's where we need to get in our lives. We need to come to the understanding that God is in control. Now, folks, that just blessed my heart when I read that. You know, it puts everything back into perspective. Hey, look, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about God and what he's got. He's in control. He's got me today where he wants me. He's got you wherever you're at. It's because he's put you there. Now, the circumstances might look bad for you wherever you're at. They might look great. Sometimes you're on the mountain. Sometimes you're in the valley. But it's all up to God. And as believers, this is what upsets me so bad. I get upset with myself because as believers, we forget that. We get going on in our daily lives, and we start taking on all this load upon ourselves. All of a sudden, it's all about me and my control and what I have control over. No, it's not. It's about God and what he has control over. And when we leave our lives in that order, things Cadillac along. See, I wouldn't have to be getting upset at that restaurant. See, what I should have done, see, this is what I should have done. I should have remembered what Paul said right here. And I can look at the time. Now, trust me, I'm not going to roll over. Folks, that ain't going to happen. You know, when Moses went into the promised land, there was a lot of battling going on, wasn't it? God was on his side. But did he serve God while he was battling? Yes. Sure he did. And how about the pilgrims when they come to America? Was it a fight? Was it a struggle? Did they give up? Did they quit? No. They continued to serve God, and they continued to fight too. And by doing that, we have the good old U.S. of A. Well, today, we're in that same battle. We're in the same battle. The battle hadn't changed. We're in that same battle. We're still fighting. We don't have to roll over. We don't have to give up. But we do need to remember what Paul said. I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. See, when you put that into perspective, then when I went into that store, it wasn't a store. It was actually Andy's Igloo in Winter Haven. I walked in. This little 15-year-old girl said, "You have to have a mask on." I'm like, "For what?" She said, "Well, just to walk from here to your table." And I looked at her. I'm like, "I don't think so." And this is the God's honest truth. They want you to walk in the door. This is your government, okay? Put a mask on. Walk 10 feet. It might not have been 10 feet. I wish I had a carried tape measure, measured it out. It was 10 foot or less, I promise you. You sit down, and you can take your mask off. Now, and the place is full. Nobody's got a mask on. You'll be the only one with a mask walking from the door to the table, except for the waitresses, okay? Now, you tell me that's not government control. Sure it is. That's all that is. They're training you. That's all they're doing. They're trying to train you for the next step. And you know what the next step is. Let me give you a little clue. Have you seen a sign hanging on a door around, anywhere around that you've been? Change shortage. Have you seen that sign? The change just disappeared all of a sudden. Isn't that something? Isn't it amazing how that happened? You think the dollar bill is going to start disappearing? I bet you they will. That's going to be your next stage. So this is the training process that we're going through. So with all that being said, still, if I'd have been in this mindset, instead of getting upset, I didn't say anything to her. I didn't slap her. I didn't throw anything at her. I know that's what some of y'all are thinking. I didn't do anything like that. I just said, not me. And I turned around and got in my car, and I came back to Hang City where people hadn't totally lost their mind, and you can go into a restaurant without a mask. Praise God. Amen. So if you want to eat, go to Hang City. You don't have to wear a mask. If you hear me in the radio land, you don't have to wear a mask in a Hang City restaurant. Folks, I should have been in the proper mindset. And what I would have done was put on a mask. I would have went in and sat down, and I would have handed out tracts before I left there. See, that's what I should have done, but I didn't. See, I let self get involved, and I let self get a hold of me, and I still didn't get angry with her. I didn't get mean with her or nothing, but I left. But see, I lost an opportunity to serve God. See, that's what happens when we start depending on ourselves rather than depending on the things that God's got for us. So what do we do then? Folks, we just keep on teaching Jesus. Just keep teaching Jesus. Be like Paul. Remember that every circumstance God has control over, and we just keep teaching Jesus. And we need to teach Jesus more today than we've ever taught it. Folks, when you turn your television on, you look at your news, and these people that's in power think that it's okay for the hoodlums to rob and steal and burn down buildings, then we have an issue. And it's a sin issue. These people are lost and on their way to hell. And we need to be praying for these people, and we need to be witnesses to people every chance we get. That's what we need to be doing. I don't know about you, but I believe that the day is coming. I believe we're waiting for the sound of the trumpet, and I believe it's coming quick. So with that being said, turn over to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. Go to chapter 2. I'm going to read something to you. Chapter 2, we'll start in verse 1. We'll go through verse 3. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Folks, I don't know about you, but I kind of think that we're pushing that envelope right there, don't you? Let's look at verse 5. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. The he right there is talking about Satan. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Folks, that's talking about you and I. You know, right now, it's because we're here that the restraints of sin is still on this old earth as much as it is. But when we're taken out of here, and what, by the way, we call that the rapture. And that's what I'm waiting on. So much the more, when Paul, when he was saying so much the more as the day, that's talking about the day of the Lord, the day that Christ, the day of the rapture, that day. So, folks, more and more and more, we need to be more steadfast as the time approaches. And, folks, I believe the rapture is coming any time now. And for you folks out in radio land, I know. Because the first thing somebody says is that there's raptures not in the Bible. Well, I'm aware of that. I know that there's no word rapture in the Bible. There's always a critic out there. Now, I've seen a couple smirks in here. So, anyway, I'll tell you what. Let's back up. Let's back up to 1 Thessalonians. Just a couple pages there. Look at chapter 4 and let's start in verse 13. It says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, That's talking about those that are saved and have died. The bodies is out there in the graveyard. That ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. That's talking about the lost person. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, that's talking about you and I, the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, that's you and I, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Folks, that's the rapture. Now you have two choices. You can say rapture, or you can read all that. Okay? So we as Baptists, we choose to say rapture. It's quicker, it saves time, and normally everybody knows what we're talking about, okay? So with that being said, we're going to move on. I want you to go to 2 Timothy right quick. Told you we're going to move around a little bit this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read this quickly as I can. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, inconstant, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, that's a little G right there, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You don't see any of that today, do you? Oh, my soul. I mean, is that not talking about today? Folks, we are in the last days. We're living in this time right here, and it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. It's going to get harder to come to church. It's going to be more persecution. How bad is it going to get? I don't know. It could get bad. But I can promise you it's going to get worse. But still, what are we supposed to do according to what the Lord says? We're still not to forsake the assembling of thyself together. We're still supposed to be in the Lord's house. We still should be fighting for the Lord. And if we go back to Ephesians, where we were reading about Paul there, in the verse 2, he talks about the dispensations of time. And right now, folks, we're living in the dispensation of grace. And I thank God for that. You know, today, no matter how bad you are, no matter how much sin is in your life, no matter how wicked, evil, it makes no difference. God can save you. Amen. See, we live in a time of grace. And all you've got to do is ask God to save you. The Bible tells us that we believe in the heart and confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. It doesn't say unless. Folks, that's dispensation of grace. That's where we're at right now. That's the time that we live in today. But let me say something to you. That time's fixing to come to an end. That dispensation is fixing to stop. It's just like when you read about the seven churches and we read about the church ages. We're living in the last church age, the Laodicean church age. We're also living in the dispensation of grace. Well, just like that church age, that's going to cease when the rapture takes place. This dispensation of grace is going to stop when that trumpet sounds. That cross is going to be withdrawn. Folks, right now it's so simple. When Dr. Bradley gets through preaching today, you can get up out of your seat, you can walk right down that aisle and come right down here on your knees before God and give your life to Christ. Amen. And all those sins are washed away. Gone. Just like that. Just gone. That's the dispensation that we live in. But folks, when that trumpet sounds, that's no more. That's going to change at that point. And we're moving into the dispensation of judgment. And you don't want to be there. I know people think it's so bad in this life. It's so bad out in Chicago. Or trust me, you're not going to want to be here. You don't want to be here in the next dispensation. So I ask you to evaluate yourself today. Evaluate your life. And those out in radio land, evaluate what's going on today in your life. And trust Jesus before it's too late, before that trumpet sounds. Because, folks, we're living in this time right here, in the last days. That's where we're at right now, the last days. Is it today? I don't know. I hope so. You know, I feel bad sometimes when I say that, because I'm looking for the day that trumpet's going to sound. I'm looking for that day. But at the same time, it saddens me, because I know that this dispensation is going to end. And there's a lot of people that's going to go to hell. And I don't have time, but I would take you back to another section in the Bible and show you where you're going to believe a lie. If you're still here, God's going to cause a great delusion to fall upon you. And you're going to believe a lie. It says all, A-L-L. I think that's everybody. They're going to believe a lie. You don't want to be here. Take advantage of what God's giving you today. And folks, we as believers today, it's important that we understand. And if you believe your salvation, and you believe in the dispensation, and you believe in the rapture, and you believe in all these things, then you should be looking at your neighbor. Is he saved? How about your brother? Is he saved? Your parents, grandparents, kids, grandchildren, are they saved? You'd be surprised how many people in this room right now, there's not a whole lot of us here today, that's not 100% sure that their family members are saved. Folks, that's not good. We should know that. And this is what happens. Just like I was talking about, they try to make you feel bad about not wearing your mask. See, if you say something to a family member, you might offend them. You might even become an outcast. So be it. I would rather my son hate me for asking him if he knows Jesus than to go to hell without me asking him. Folks, we need to put things into perspective, and we need to get self out of the way, and we need to be more like the Apostle Paul. We need to start depending more on Christ and a little less on us, and start reminding ourselves that it's all about him, his glory, what he's done and what he's going to do, and he's in control. He's still God. He's still the creator, like Brother Nixon was singing. He's still the creator. He's still on the throne. He's the God of Abraham and Jacob and Isaac, and he's our God today. Same God. He hasn't changed one bit. He hasn't moved one inch. We keep drifting away, unfortunately. And I'm out of time. My brother, you got our account this morning.